This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the show. It's Meera Sivasuthi. The challenges of education are so large that our entire community has been seeking a solution. And online learning and the massive open online courses are seen as a potential silver bullet. But the jury is still out in terms of whether and to what extent purely online education is effective. And with me, with a special passion for massive open online courses, are Dr. Jane Tong. She is an educationist. Welcome, Dr. Jane. How are you today?
Very good, thank you.
What got you involved or got you interested in massive open online courses? And maybe you just want to explain what it is really.
Well, what got me interested is when I was in the United States for my sabbatical, and there were a lot of articles talking about these massive open online courses. And I just took one myself. And I was really, I was fascinated by the way they delivered the course and how effective it was, and also by how many students that was involved in the class. So like, for example, the class that I recently completed is an introduction to social psychology. Mm-hmm. And there were 230,000 students enrolled in that single course. And that's fantastic.
Okay.
Yeah.
But share that experience with me. I mean, what was it like being one of the 230,000, you know? And I'm thinking in terms of, why did you even embark on such a course? Is it just to explore what a massive open online course is? Or did you want to have a certificate at the end of the day? Or did you just want to add on that knowledge that you didn't have?
As an educator in this field, I'm really interested in knowing this type of this mode of delivery. You know, how could it be successful? And what is the impact? What is the learning experience that student can receive? Mm-hmm. So I took it myself. And also the subject topic is something I'm interested in, is my field, and I would like to explore how other people teach the same course. And that's motivate me to participate in such a course.
Did you think you benefited from it at all?
Oh, yes. I learned how to present an idea in a more succinct way. I learned, you know, some video clips that are very effective in delivering a message that I never saw before. And I think that as an educator, I learned how to teach from that course.
That is from an educator's
yes.
point, right? But as the ordinary person, isn't it a lonely experience not being physically in a classroom with, you know, lecturers and friends and colleagues and things like that?
I think it's like watching a movie. Like if you watch a movie with a group of people, obviously the feeling is different from watching a movie by yourself. And if it is a good movie, you can enjoy it and you can really, you know, feel excited about the contents. So that's how I felt. Mm-hmm. So basically what I did is I, you know, on my weekends, I just log on the internet, go to my class and, you know, watch the videotapes and try to do the assignments and try to join the open forum. And I think whether you feel you learn something or not is a matter of your discipline and how driven you are. And through the forum, I noticed that a lot of the participants from over 50, 40, 60 countries, quite a number of them are really interested in the course, and they feel they learned something. And I even read an open letter from one person from Serbia, and he wrote really, you know, strong feelings, positive feelings about that course.
And all of this was free for you?
Yes,
yes.
That's another attractive thing. It's free, you know. How could a free course being so successful, you know? I just wonder what's going on in our field.
Yeah, and are you not concerned that the traditional way of going to school will eventually die off? Because, you know, just besides talking about massive open online courses, you also have things like the Khan Academy and, yeah. you know, EduNation in Malaysia. Edmund Yap has set it up, which provide online aid for kids in primary and secondary school. So do you think that, you know, we're moving towards this in the long run?
Yeah, I think that, you know, as an educator in this field, I see it as an opportunity as well as a threat. It is an opportunity for everybody that can learn. and that are eager to learn, they have opportunity to learn, because so far, you know, they don't charge anything. Even in the future, I will perceive that they will not charge as high as some of the tuition charged in Malaysia. Mm-hmm. I think it's a benefit to the community, to the learning community, and to our future generations. But as an educator who receives salary by teaching, I see it as a threat, because you know, somebody can do a very good job and reach so many students at the same time. And I question, you know, should I have to change the way I teach? I also feel like I need to improve myself in delivering those messages. And I think that, but one thing you're concerned about, will people just stop going to school? And I do not see it happen, because school provides a learning environment that these type of online courses cannot. So, and also, as a matter of fact, like a university is more than just provide classroom teaching, but the total educating experience, mm-hmm. like such as clubs activities, such as, you know, workshops to help students develop soft skills. These are the things that cannot be offered by online courses.
Yeah. Besides, it's not for everyone, is it?
No.
I can't imagine myself. It would be a lonely experience for me, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And not, as you said, you need to be disciplined. You need to be focused, you know. And if you don't fulfill those criteria, it's probably not going to work for you.
Yeah, student, if you really want to learn, maximize the learning benefits, participants have to be very driven, disciplined, and just a self-starter. They have to, you know, have an objective in mind.
You know, some of the courses come across as very obscure, Dr. Jane. You just want to go through a few with me. I mean, it just shows if you have an interest in, if you're living in, you know, the, you know, crevices of this world, you know, where nobody really knows you exist, you can actually, you know, learn through these online courses.
That's right. It's like, you know, one of the courses is the music of the Beatles, child nutrition and cooking, that's by Stanford University, or dinosaur 101, dinosaur paleobiology. So if you want to learn about the biology of dinosaurs, you can take a course from the University of Alberta.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's fun, and, you know, especially for people that have a lot of time but nothing much to do, and these are fun courses.
Yeah, but didn't you find the cultural nuances and linguistic variations a bit of a problem when you were studying? Was there group study when you were embarked on the course?
I think the good thing is English is the common denominator, and as a matter of fact, there are transcription in four or five different languages of the videos. Like the class that I just completed, there was Chinese plus you know, three other languages. So it really benefit those whose mother tongue is not English mm-hmm. to learn.
Okay. And you're coming from Hong Kong, aren't you?
Yes, that's right.
From the accent is a giveaway. But what got you interested in this? Because coming from Hong Kong, do you see it the way forward for people in Hong Kong? Are they interested in massive open online courses?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think Hong Kong people in general, they really are eager to learn, and even not for the certificate purpose. And I see it as an opportunity for lifelong learning, especially like in those areas, child nutrition and cooking. You know, if you're a stay-home mom, you really want to learn more about being a good mom. You know, this type of course will help you to learn. And, you know, or if you really, if you have IT engineering background, you want to have some idea about what business classes are like, you can go to, you know, this online platform and take an introduction to financial accounting, introduction to marketing. And these are offered by the top business school in mm-hmm. the world. So I see it as, you know, great opportunity for people to have the initiative and pursue more learning.
Right. But do employers recognize
I think
such? Because, you know, many employers say that they are more likely to hire applicants with traditional rather than online education. And this is according to a new poll. So is this just to supplement your knowledge?
I think learning, I'm a learner myself, and I believe in lifelong learning. I think learning is something very personal. Do you feel that you really master additional knowledge and apply it? That's for yourself. Mm-hmm. And if somebody want other people to see they have obtained certain knowledge, of course you have to go to, you know, those publicly recognized institution. And it is an issue for people that have that purpose to take this type of online courses, because even in the United States, employers do like prefer applicants have obtain the degrees from traditional institutions. Mm-hmm.
There's some downsides to it. There's very limited research that has been done into the effectiveness of online learning, and it has been found to have a much higher dropout rate, lower grades than the conventional kind. Does it matter? Does it even matter to you?
Well, you have to look at the purpose, the objectives of the students when they decided to enroll in these type of courses. Like in the course that I took, there are students who are 80 years old. So those people, they are not going to, you know, get a certificate. Their interest is to learn more. And also at the same time, there are lots of people just take it for interest. You know, they learn the subject, they are not really there to take the exams. So I'm not surprised about the dropout rate. I'm not surprised about the low completion rate. And I think that this type of courses are now for everybody, since it's free and everybody has different motives when they join.
What is it for universities then? Attaching their names to these courses, how does that benefit them in any way?
Well, so far, most of the universities that offer these type of online courses are top-rated universities in the world or in the United States. So I think that in many ways they are doing their
CSR.
Social, yeah, absolutely, mm-hmm. yeah, social responsibility, and this is really something good for their university image. And I think that as an educator, you want to, you know, teach as many as you can in your lifetime.
Yeah, of course.
So I think that if you can teach 230,000 students at one time within 6 weeks, this is really a dream of a life.
Yeah, of course. We're discussing massive open online courses with Dr. Jane Tong. She's an educationist. If you have a question for her, send it through. The number is 016-201-9000, or you can tweet BFM Radio.
This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon. It is The Bigger Picture, and it's Mira Sivasuthi, educationist Dr. Jane Tong in the studio with me. We're discussing massive open online courses. If you're wondering what that is, well, a lot of very well-known universities are now online providing free courses. Of course, these courses are not the mainstream courses. Would you agree with me, Dr. Jane?
Not really. There are mainstream courses.
As well?
Yeah, like Introduction to Financial Accounting. Come on, if you are, you know, non-business students or no business background, you really want to learn. What about Introduction to Marketing? Mm-hmm. These are mainstream courses. So what they are not is are higher level courses in a particular subject.
Okay. And when sometimes college administrators, are they looking at monetizing massive open online courses? Mm-hmm. Do you think? Because earlier on when we spoke about what is it in this, you know, whole system for well-known universities, right? And we sort of concluded that it's a CSR initiative to give back to society in a way. But college administrators, some of them are actually looking at monetizing.
That's
true. Do you think that they will eventually lose out because they're going to be few and far between as opposed to the masses?
Actually, in the United States, in California, the state university system want to introduce some of these online courses into their regular curriculum, but they receive a lot of resistance from the existing professors. And I will see that is certainly a threat and also a way for the university administrators to save costs. But whether it will become a reality is also a power struggle. Mm-hmm. Now those professors, you know, you're threatening their profession. So it will be a challenge. But I see a lot of advantages of this type of courses to be offered in developing countries.
Mm-hmm. Such as? Could you give me an example?
Well, I think in Malaysia. And I think that the quality of these courses are very high. And for some colleges or universities that are having trouble in recruiting capable and qualified educators, and this is also an alternative solution mm-hmm. to them. and or in some areas, remote areas, whereby it's very difficult to launch a formal higher education institution. So some people may find it an attractive alternative to use this type of online courses and, you know, and hire a tutor to, you know, help the students. And it is a desirable package given these circumstances.
Right. And, well, threats aside, Dr. Jane, do you think that it should be a resource to be included in the national education system, for an example? Let's put aside the fact that you could be made redundant in years to come. But is that the way forward?
I will say it's one of the options that the national education system may think about. It's like adopting the best textbook in the world. You know, there are so many textbooks in the world that the school's education system can choose from. And now you have a talking and, you know, with the images,
interactive
mm-hmm. videos, and this is and people speaking about the topics. So this is one of the options that university can include it into the regular curriculum. I won't say they can, these type of courses can 100% replace the existing professors or classes, because they are very generic. They are not really at a very high level yet. And, you know, face-to-face interactions still mean a lot to help students learn, clarify their problems, and to motivate mm-hmm. them.
But observing the way children learn today, Dr. Jane, I mean, you have two-year-olds working iPads, like it's part of their DNA, really.
Yeah.
And don't you think that this is really the way forward, in that there's going to be very little need for the traditional way of educating children?
Yeah, I think there's still need. It's not really, you know, it's an alternative way of learning, and traditional face-to-face way is very effective in helping students to build their confidence, to build a soft skill, and provide a social environment for them to interact with other classmates. These are the things that cannot be replaced by these type of massive open online courses.
Okay, but, you know, I don't know, in my mind, somehow it seems like it is really going to be the way forward. The role of teachers will not be, you know, we will not get rid of teachers, but they probably play a much a smaller role in that it's more the, you know, day-to-day meeting and facilitating more than teaching such.
It's possible. There could be, you know, a higher demand for tutor and lower demand for professors.
Yes. Exactly.
Yes.
You look very concerned.
Yes.
But how does the teaching community, how have, you know, based on discussions that you have with colleagues and friends, where do they stand on this?
I think since this type of courses are still so new, not a lot of colleagues that are really aware of that. But I pass on this message and courses to my colleagues, and they are excited about this learning opportunity for themselves. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, as time goes by, more colleagues will be aware of this type of courses. And I believe their feeling will be like me. It's both you know, a threat and also an opportunity to learn more.
It is, of course. Yeah. We have a question here. Someone's asking, what about postgraduate programs like an MBA? Are there online programs under the whole massive open online course?
No, so far not. But there are lots of online courses offered in the UK, in the US already that anybody can join.
But those are not free? Are they free?
Those are not free. They charge, actually, a lot of the online programs charge at the regular rate as face-to-face programs.
Okay, so MBA, unfortunately, you'll have to pay for that.
Oh, yeah.
Pay for it. And retirees,
yeah.
Sort of helps, open online courses like these help retirees, help senior citizens in a very, very beneficial way in terms of lifelong learning.
Yes.
Have you seen that firsthand and yes. how it has helped?
I tell you one thing. I have a colleague who is 83 years old. He's American. He and his wife, a few months ago, took a course from one online platform on chemistry and food. Can you imagine? You know, he said it was tough. But do remember, he had a Harvard PhD.
Okay. So he has...
He said it's tough, even though he has a Harvard PhD in economics.
Yes, and chemistry, food chemistry.
Food chemistry. He wants to learn more.
Hmm. Okay. So it's, I mean, really knowledge is there at your fingertips.
It's up to you to grab.
Exactly, yeah. Isn't it? But do you see a downside to all of this at all?
I think it's really a challenge to the existing universities who do not offer anything but just teaching in the classroom. So if this is what, you know, some colleges or universities offer, then students have other choices. They have substitute.
So it keeps you on your toes, really.
Yeah.
Most of the time. Mm-hmm. Do you see universities actually doing or being proactive in this area?
Not yet.
Not quite yet.
I think it's a wait and watch. It's like, you know, everything brand new and, you know, some people are foreigner trying to have a feeling of what it is. And some people kind of like, okay, we wait and see what's happened.
Mm-hmm. The honeymoon may be coming to an end, according to some, for massive open online courses, with even advocates conceding that expectations have gotten out ahead of them. Mm. Would you agree with me?
In certain way, yeah, because the quality of these courses is just so high. You know, sometimes I really think that I have to improve myself. Otherwise, I feel my class is inferior to them. And I think that it's a wake-up call. It's a wake-up call to the higher education sector.
Okay. What would you like to take us to take away from this whole idea of massive open online courses, Dr. Jane?
Well, I think that as an educator, we have to continuously improve myself.
Sure. And, you know, anything you really want to learn, it's right there, actually.
Yes, that's right.
Just go ahead and Google it and you'll find it. Right from, as you said, Dinosaurs 101 to cooking and nutrition for children. Yes. It's all there. All you need to do is go on to the whole massive open online course. It was a pleasure having you on, Dr. Jane. How do we find out more about these courses and how, you know, if we want to actually move forward, where should we go?
Well, just Google it and put down massive open online course, and there are a couple of websites that are very famous. Am I allowed to say it?
Yes, you can.
Okay. One is www.coursera.org. One is is edx.
Right.
edx.
Okay.
.org.
Sure. Those are the two very major ones.
Yeah, the most famous ones.
It will lead you to the courses.
Yes, that's right.
Thank you very much for joining me today.
My pleasure.
Dr. Jane Tong, an educationist on massive open online courses on the Bigger Picture BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.